So today we're thinking about endurance. Endurance is the ability to persevere over a long period of time, even through difficulty and hardship. And because Christianity is a commitment to a lifelong journey through life, we will face some difficulties and hardships. And this requires, if we are to be faithful Christians, this requires endurance. Earlier this year, for reasons I can't quite understand, Harita Davis, a New Zealand long-distance runner, did this endurance race in New York, where she ran around the block many times, approximately 110 times a day for 51 days. So that over the course of this race, she ran 3,100 miles, just short of 5,000 kilometres. Then she went back from the 3,100 miles to do a little bit extra that would bring her up to the 5,000 kilometres. So what is the longest anyone here has run? Has anyone done a half marathon? That's not my hand up, by the way. That's just so some have done half marathons. Has anyone done a marathon? Yes, has done a marathon. Has anyone run a greater distance than a marathon? Well, I am in awe of you who have. Well done for that and being able to run. The race in New York, what puzzles me about that, and because you've run some distance, you'll know what it takes to be prepared and to run. What puzzles me about this race in New York, it was just round and round the block. It would have been so boring. They showed a little bit of this on the news. It wasn't even a nice block. You know, it was just looked a bit rough. And she went round. Now, I can understand if you're going to run a marathon or round the bays or even do the coast to coast where you have the wonderful changing scenery around you, but to go round and round the block, that just, I don't quite understand that. But I do admire her determination and her grit. It's a real test of a person's endurance to run that far. And a Christian life is a little bit like that. It begins when we cross the line of faith, we put our trust in God, and then from then on, throughout all of our lives, we are walking, we are running, we are resting, however that happens with God. A lifelong journey, when it is joyful, when it is through sorrow, when it is easy, when it is rough. So we're in the midst of a series called New to Faith, and today we're thinking about endurance. As we think about endurance, I will be talking about some of the things in the Christian life that are hard. But I don't want to give you the impression that everything in the Christian life is hard. Because we do have times of joy, we do have times when we soar. But it would be quite wrong of me, or us as a church, to give the impression to new Christians, follow Jesus, because life will be so much easier if you do. Because we know that in life, we are still going to face difficulties and troubles. So we're thinking about endurance. Both our new and mature Christians need endurance for the journey because it is a lifelong journey. Now, new Christians can begin the race very well. And many of us who have had the experience of coming to faith, coming to the cross, having our sins forgiven, will know something of the joy and the enthusiasm that can come with that. And that can buoy us up and lift us so that we are able to start the race really well. But the thing that we also know is that sooner or later, because of the way life is, and also because of the way faith is, we're going to strike times of testing. And so we need to be prepared for that. And we need to help new Christians be prepared for that. So this morning, I'm going to highlight two key things about this. One of them is that there are life issues, there are faith issues that are going to draw on our reserves in lots of ways, spiritually, mentally, physically, for which we will need endurance in our faith. And secondly, I'm going to touch on how we get endurance and develop the endurance that we need to live a Christian life. So why do Christians need endurance? Well, life is hard for everyone. I might just need to get you to... So there it is. Now, some of you will know that from time to time I watch TED Talks. And I watched a TED Talk last week that said, if you want to remember something, draw a picture. And so I drew these pictures. They're not greatly artistic pictures, but they are pictures by your minister. And so due respect is required. No, not really. But I was going to auction them and to the highest bidder at the early service. We didn't get any bids. So just enjoy this. Enjoy this with me. So life is hard for everyone, including Christians. There are just some dangerous things in life, some potholes that we come across. Everyone will experience these in some way or other. Life can be like a construction zone with dangers and hazards. We know this, but sometimes as new Christians, we wonder, will we be immune to these things? Will God somehow take us past these things and make life easy for us? And sometimes God does. But in reality, very often we will face these common struggles, things like illness or getting a good education or employment, challenges with relationships. Sometimes it's natural disasters. And for us, death is one of those things that we will face for ourselves or for loved ones. So last week, Melanie and I went out for a walk to the Oakley Creek Waterfall. Melanie had been looking forward to doing this for a while. I'm a reluctant traveller. But anyway, so I thought, this will be like a muddy path along the stream. It'll be a bit rough. But I got there, and it was paved concrete all the way. It was really, well, the bit we were on, it was really quite easy. It was a smooth path, lush greenery, relaxing sound of a meandering stream bubbling across the rocks and things. It was very tranquil. The only thing that interrupted us was the occasional sweaty jogger who wanted to get past. Now, when you think of this walking down by the stream where it's nice and relaxing, that might be the sort of thing that comes to mind when we read Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And this may be the idyllic sense, picture of comfort, expectations of a life of ease that we might think the Christian life should be. Yet even contained within the psalm, we read of the shadow. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And many of you will know that our family recently had this cold shadow come over our lives with the sudden death of my brother's wife, Karen. She died aged 59 of a brain aneurysm and just so quickly was gone, broke our hearts, and we still feel the shadow of death upon our lives, this loss in our lives. And so I want to thank you who prayed for us, for your prayerful support, and to ask you to continue to hold us in your prayers through this difficult part of our journey. You see, Christians face difficult testing situations which are common to humanity, which can cause us sometimes to question our faith, things that require from us endurance. Another thing about this is as Christians, we follow a crucified Messiah. And he warned his followers, expect trouble. Expect trouble. Jesus spoke of the suffering and sacrifice and persecution his followers would encounter. And he said, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, like me, you may have heard people say to you, Christianity is a crutch for those who cannot cope with life. But Jesus never said, pick up your crutch and follow me. He said, pick up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. And the image of a person who carries a cross indicates that life is going to somehow test our endurance. And in the book of Acts, we see this among Christians, where they are persecuted. People who follow a Messiah who was persecuted must be prepared to face difficulties in their own lives. And Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And we see this in the experience of the early church as they were persecuted, imprisoned, driven from their homes. We read in many of the letters in the New Testament words of encouragement that the apostles are writing because the people in the church are suffering and suffering for their faith. And they wrote of their own personal suffering. So we read from Paul of himself, of those who were with him, of others that he knew. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Pardon me. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. This isn't a rose-tinted view of the Christian life. Paul's life was not a walk in the park. There were difficulties in his life, and this is not uncommon for Christians. In New Zealand, we don't face this in the same scale, but in other countries around the world, our brothers and sisters are being persecuted this very day. So some other things that will require endurance from us, some hardships we face are of our own making. In Hebrews, we read, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, if we don't throw those things aside, if we don't throw off what hinders us, then they're going to entangle our lives. And we're going to face some consequences because of that. Note, sin easily entangles us. It's no hardship for sin to entangle us. It's not that you need to sin a whole lot before it catches up with you. It's not that there is a high threshold or wide margins in which you can sin unless you cross those and then you're in trouble. But in here, you're okay. It's not like that. To sin is like deliberately tying your shoelaces together at the beginning of a race. You're going to fall. Sooner rather than later, you're going to trip. When you're running a race, you don't carry more than you need to. And you certainly ensure that nothing's going to get tangled around your legs and trip you up. Rather, you throw away everything that would hinder you. Now, when you first become a Christian, and in reality, some of us do these things anyway, even as mature Christians, but when you first become a Christian, you carry things into your Christian life that need to be dealt with. Things from your old life that may weigh you down. It could be some bad habits or bad attitudes that would hold you back. It might be hindrances that are linked to relationships or how we use our time. It may be hobbies or practices and things that we've built into our work patterns, cutting corners. It may be how we respond to people or to situations we encounter. And those things over time, God will work on and will deal with and will try to remove from our lives. And we need to be aware of that. We have a part to play in this. We read in the scriptures, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Now, the particular things that hold you back may not be on that list, but each of us know in our hearts and our lives the things that cause us to stumble and to struggle. And when we're in that sort of stumbling, struggling situation, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, what sin is entangling us? What is holding us captive? What sin is binding us? What sin is growing up to choke us and to stunt us or to steal our growth? And when we identify what the sin is, we need to bring it to God. And those words we sang in that song, we need to come to the altar. We need to bring things to the foot of the cross and leave them there and in repentance have them dealt with. Now added to this, and we don't have time to think about it today, our spiritual enemy, the devil, prowls. And given the chance, he would tie our laces together so that we trip up as well. We're in a spiritual battle. But again, I want to say to you, the Christian life is not all uphill. It's not all battles. It's not all struggle. But highlighting the hardships that we face in just these few minutes can seem quite intense, as if who would want to do this when it's so hard? I don't want to make it seem as if there's no joy or no hope. I just simply want to point out our need for endurance. So how do we get the endurance? How do we build up the strength? How do we strengthen our spiritual arms and feeble knees so we can endure on this difficult journey? There are some things that we need to toss aside. On the flip side of that, there are some things we need to bring into our lives. Attitudes from Christ that take time for us to discover, to learn about, and to apply. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't become an endurance runner simply by putting on running shoes. But as you exercise, as you stretch yourself with each training and building the muscles, replacing anger with peace, replacing rage with calm, malice with goodwill, this doesn't happen at the flick of a switch. You and I have our work cut out as God works in us to build the spiritual muscle, to build ourselves up spiritually. So how do we get this endurance in our lives? Well, one of the really helpful things to know, thanks if you would flick that on for me, is that Jesus is risen. Jesus was crucified, but we don't look upon him as a pathetic figure who failed. We recognize he endured suffering for us, and therefore he becomes our inspiration. And the writer of Hebrews says, look at him who endured so much opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. The not grow weary and not lose heart, we do that by looking at Jesus. As we fix our eyes on Jesus and we recognize that he rose victorious over sin and death. The cross isn't the end of the story. It's an important part of the story, but it's not the end of the story. And furthermore, we're told that the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, it's at work in us. And this power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. Now, when we consider the obstacles that we have to face, they can seem overwhelming. Realistically, we can't face those on our own, in our own strength, by our own power. One of the great joys for those who are new to faith, and if you're new to faith, I just hold this out to you, to begin to think about and reflect on, God is for us and not against us. God's power is at work in us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And this, while it may seem counterintuitive, God works even through hardship for our good. We read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." And so we have this held before us that you can be joyful about testing because you know God is going to use it in a good way to strengthen you, to help you to endure, to help you build up your muscle. Also, our sisters and brothers in the church are there for us. I'm not going to say anything about that because we'll come to that a later part of this series. Suffice to say for now, we don't run this race alone. We're part of a supportive spiritual family who have each other's interests at heart. But also to say that endurance comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised his followers that the Holy Spirit would come and said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The Holy Spirit brings that power, spiritual fruit, spiritual gifts into our lives with an overflow of joy and hope. So Paul said, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love and self-discipline. And we need that self-discipline, that love, that power to be able to endure. And that comes from God. Too often we try to run the race in our own strength when we should be running it in the strength that God gives us through his Spirit. Also, the Bible is a great source of strength to build up endurance. We read within it, for everything that was written in the past, speaking about the Bible, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So the Scriptures are written to help us find endurance, to help us have hope, to help us have encouragement. And we continue to read from those verses, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus. So God also gives us endurance and encouragement and does this in many ways through the Scriptures is one of them. We have examples of people in the Bible like Noah and Hannah and David to encourage us. God himself is a giver of endurance. In the Bible, we see and we find in the experience of our own lives that God does not always deliver us from hardship, but through hardship. Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery, in hardship went on to save his family. What seemed like the hopeless situation of the Moabite widow Ruth, who was destitute, turned out to be one of joy. And her grandson became king of Israel. David, hiding from King Saul, in hardship, wrote the 23rd Psalm, which is such a comfort to us. Paul and Silas in prison used that situation, singing hymns to the glory of God to help bring others to faith. We have wonderful examples of people who have endured faithfully in the most difficult of circumstances. And you might be sitting right next to one of them today because it's true in our lives. People have been faithful. People who have lived through difficult situations and held firmly to God's hand. Obstacles, challenges, difficulties that we face in life may be great, but the resource of love and power and the presence of God who provides what we need, he gives not just what we need to endure, but to have strength to help others, so that if one of our brothers or sisters is struggling, we can come alongside them and support them and encourage many. So I want to leave you with some questions to consider as you run the race of faith this week. Whether you're new to the faith or you've been on the journey for many years. What endurance might you find? What wonderful endurance might you find when you reflect on and know the power of God is at work in you? Not just in the people around us, but actually in you and me. That power of God is at work. Or in our prayer lives, endurance in prayer. When we know that we're filled with the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. And who helps us to intercede in prayer. Or in our witness to who Christ is, when the gospel speaks so clearly of God's love for the lost, how might that help us in our endurance as we witness to these things? Or in our fellowship, when we know that Jesus, the King of love, enables us to love one another. with trust in God, with support from our brothers and sisters in the faith, we can find the endurance we need to live a life of faith all our days, until that day when we go to be with him and face to face we see him. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.